When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Oh, I missed Joel there. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to today's pre-market prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkann, and Dennis Dick with you this morning. What do you think we're talking about? We're talking earnings, obviously, right? Netflix, Chipotle, Johnson & Johnson, Coke. We are in the thick of it, folks, and that'll be the theme of today's show. If you were wondering if the market still cares about NFTs, the answer is yes. DraftKings is in the news this morning. They are launching an NFT ecosystem and exchange. It's called DraftKings Marketplace. There's a whole bunch of details. There's a press release. It's been out for a while. I was wondering when it came out. It had a brief pop, and then it stopped going up for a second. I thought, okay, is this over? But it appears not to be, because DraftKings is near the high of the pre-market session.
Just ticked over 47.50. Pre-market high comes in at 47.60. What are the dailies? I mean, this is not a great looking chart since they made that all-time high.
But it held those lows.
Yeah.
Two days ago, it held the low it needed to hold. $40 critical. $42. I mean, you had so many stocks that were challenging. Let's look at Penn Gaming, you know, in contrast. And I'm long.
Is that
Penn
thing in the 60s terrible. Yet?
Yeah, it's been terrible. I mean, DraftKings, you know, Penn is significantly below where it was in May. DraftKings still holding those lows. So see separation here with, you know, maybe the, obviously the leader here in sports betting, DKNG, and they're trying other things too. I mean, the management team is just really smart. I mean, I love this idea. I love this, you know, concept from them as well. I'd be a buyer if it pulls back. I don't like chasing, but you've got major support down there in the low 40s. I think I'd be a buyer in the low 40s.
In Penn or
DraftKings. Yeah, no, well, Penn maybe, if it got to the low 40s too. I might actually double down.
I was just looking at the pen there, and man, you're in a kind of little bit of a danger zone here.
Well, it's off 60%, 50% from the highs here. The danger zone has happened. Funny caller on to CNBC Mad Money last night too on Penn Gaming. It's like I play Penn twice last year. He was talking to Kramer on your recommendation, and he's like, I made money both times. But he's like, this time, he's like, I bought it and it just keeps going down every day. He's like, I'm down 45 points in it now. What do I do? And I'm like, it's tough. I mean, this is, you know, the game where you got to cut those losses. You got them on for trades. You can't be making 2 points, 5 points, and then losing 45 points. You won't stay in the game very long. You got this as a long-term investment. I mean, you stuck it in and, you know, you're holding and you're believing in the long-term story. It's a completely different animal. And obviously, you're going to take more heat on some of that stuff. I had this on as a trade and an investment. I sold the trade when it cut through, but I had a little piece on it I threw in the retirement account because I still believe in the long-term story. I bought both stocks at 80. I'm down 10 points on it. It's not good news.
Yeah, this, and just the reason I'm bringing this up is when this thing got over 140, that's when it was added to the S&P 500, correct?
The top.
Yeah, and that was lights out. So isn't this today the day that Myrna goes in?
I knew you were going to say that. I just brought the chart up because I knew that was coming. Yeah. Yes, today is the day, actually, Joel.
Oh, boy. I don't know about this one. The way it backed off that high yesterday at 42.51, and then we were watching it. Yesterday's low down at 292. This is going to be a wild one here. Better hold in there today. Yeah, you could be back. I'm telling you, this thing, and I know you look at the monthly chart and you're like, you know, it's not too bad, uptrend. I mean, there are some moves in this thing, $70, $80, $90, you know, hits 180, goes to 110, goes back to 200, back to 120. This is a little bit different situation being added to the S&P, but man, oh man, if I was long this one, then you got to pop. Oh, man, even to the close today, I expect to be some resistance. But it's officially added today, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, Matt Miller a while back dropped us a 10 spot, asked about Cleveland Cliffs. He either owns or is looking to own the $20.5 calls that expire on the 30th of July. Not sure what he
big paid. Big bounce. Reopening stocks come back into favor. I was a day early when I was saying reopening stocks were oversold because they sold for one more day, obviously, and then they snacked back significantly yesterday. It bounced down 18.5. It's cyclical too, right? So you got to always consider that, but I think on pullbacks here, I think that 18.5 to 19 area is good. Am I chasing it up at 20.5 this morning when he could have bought it at 18.79 yesterday? Nah, I don't chase. But you get back down to the 19s, I'd be interested.
Yeah, you got that low yesterday at 18.71 and then low on Monday, 18.51. I mean, that's right. You're a buck and a half away. I mean, 18 is the rock solid support in here. Man, I don't know. It just seems like it had to sell off. I guess if you're really confident, you want to lean on that 2-day low. But what I'd be looking for July. I mean, those things. Did you say July? What?
July the 30th.
Right? Oh, the end of the month.
Yeah.
Man, oh man. I mean, you could get you hit like 25, you went to 18.5, right? So you could get a bounce that in this 50% area, 21.5, 22. But tough after pulling off like that. Oil's kind of in flux too. But trading up in the pre-market just a little bit, but big bar to work through here. What was the close on this day? It closed at the low. 1988 closed in 1993. So I don't know. Tough one. I don't know. Not thrilled about that one.
Okay. A couple more tickers I've gotten here from the chat this morning. Domino's, which reports tomorrow morning. Someone asked about DPZ. So let's take a quick look at
that. Man, how can you be sure? Yeah.
They always beat. It's a matter of how receptive they are to the earnings. It'll probably matter what the overall market is doing more than the earnings report itself, because we've been a whipsaw. Yeah, 2 days ago, they're selling everything. Yesterday, they're buying everything. So it all depends on the flavor of the day, I guess, on whether they're going to be buying or selling stocks that day. This has been a hell of a run, though. I mean, 360 back in March, now 470 is a price for perfection. I think it is. They're going to beat. I think I'd sell the pop if they beat. I think they're going to beat. And I think I would sell the pop if they beat.
I mean, we can extrapolate Chipotle. They're not that. It's not quite the same, but it's kind of the same.
Chipotle's got the name, though. People are like talking about that stock. It's a social media favorite. It's like Domino's Pizza doesn't have that kind of, I think. But you could also say Chipotle just set the bar really high for Domino's, too.
You could also say that, too. You could say that.
Yeah, I'd be cautious. I think, like I said, I think they're going to beat. I think if you get a pop on the beat, I think I'd sell it.
Big seller up in the 488 area. Really from 488 to 492. I don't know if you're going to be seeing that old time high 491.42, and then your seller came down into the 488 489 area. But that's not really. I mean, that's still 10-12 bucks away. So if you're looking to light up. Lighten up into the report. That's the area 488.
All right. I love when we're asked stocks we don't talk about a lot. And Megan 08 is asking about Sherwin Williams SHW as a short. Faint.
As a short.
And here's what Megan 08 says: earnings next week, and paint is completely out of stock because of supply constraints.
Yeah, you know what the other problem though here is with Sherwin Williams is the input costs. So margins, I know paint, and you think, oh yeah, demand is there, and it is, but there's also some serious input costs here too to consider as well. And do they mention those? You know, they could spook that. I mean, PPG Industries, a good tell for this, it got smoked on its earnings report. Oh. So maybe that sets the bar lower for SHW. Just be cautious, just because, you know, there's huge demand for your product. There's still, you know, huge demand for the input costs that go into that product. And obviously that's an issue for Sherwin-Williams, just as it was for PPG. So just be careful of the input costs there. But I like the company. It's hard. It's more of a coin flip for me here, because I think they're going to have decent earnings, but I'm just scared they say something and spooks the market. Like I believe that's what happened with PPG. Hot PPG breaking down the report.
Yeah,
they slammed it, but I believe it was what they were saying that was spooking the market more than anything. Yeah. So
in the pro,
they missed. Yeah, they flat out missed. Actually,
they missed, and they gave EPS guidance for the year that was light. So backward looking and forward looking misses for PPG.
Maybe they set the bar low enough for Sherwin Williams then.
Maybe.
This 284 area just really sticks out to me. Yesterday's high 82.84, and then right around 284, 84.18, 83.87. So that's your resistance in it. Of course, on the downside, you got pretty good support here. So if you're looking to short it on weakness, it looks like 275. If it gets through there, it looks like it has a little work
Joel,
to do.
Joel, update your trade station, please.
What's happening?
George's
nothing.
You just got a trade station update. Joel, you are the worst at updating your software.
I know. I am way worse.
I don't use first generation software. I hate updates.
I'm like anti-updates. I seriously am. They hijack my computer, the Microsoft updates all the time. I am anti-updates. I update nothing. I'm running like Windows 7 and they don't support it anymore. And
both of you, please.
I know. I'm the worst with that.
No, then you end up going back. Then you got to turn your, you know, then nothing works. And then you got to go back. You know what the old trick was that Eddie taught me was, you know, you can turn back like your computer in time. Yeah. You know, like after you do an update and then it screws everything up, then you go, oh, yeah, just take me to yesterday at 2 o'clock. Everything was working fine.
Yeah.
But anyways, what do we got? We got 2 minutes left here.
A couple more. Let's look at ASO, Academy Sports. I don't know why we were asked about it. I don't know. Is there news?
All these stocks are – they have earnings coming up. I don't know if they do, but – these are the kind of companies that have been kicking butt too. I mean, the outdoors plays are kicking butt. I wouldn't bet against it. And if it has earnings coming up, I don't know like when the earnings report, if it already did, but I wouldn't bet against something like this. Not the outdoors plays. Those are still hot.
This thing has been up every month since its IPO. Look at that. Except for this month. So there's a little chink in the armor on this one. So I think on this one, just the fact that you got a red candle going into the month, you're seeing some profit taking going into the report. So I think on a pop on this one.
It's 45 days away still, the report.
Oh, 45? Okay. Yeah. Okay. A little pre-intern. All right, guys. I'm going to hop off here and go cover all these symbols that we missed. So, Spencer, I'll see you at 3:30.
You know, when we get into earnings season, there's no way we will be able to talk about every earnings report. Like, we had ASML, someone just mentioned that. We didn't talk about Harley Davidson, United Airlines, Verizon.
They're all up today. Like, I mean, let's just fly through really quickly. NDAQ reported earnings, trading green. Hog reported earnings. Trying to hold green, that's actually starting to go red. Verizon reported green. CMA reported a spit up. Coca-Cola, green. Johnson & Johnson, green. ANTM, green. NVS is red. We found one that was red, Novartis. STX, green. LAD, major green LAD. So, you know, right now they're rewarding everything. I guess they're wanting to buy stocks, and they're buying them all on these reports. We'll see. But again, if you're chasing stocks and buying stocks now, I mean, now you're paying up, because we just rallied 100 S&P points from 2 days ago's low. This bringing us right back up to the highs. So I don't like chasing stocks. I need to pull back now to get in. Yesterday morning was the time to get in if you were in any of those, anything basically. Like even Paul was saying, everything went up yesterday pretty much. So if you're buying yesterday morning, I guess that was the time. Now you got to wait for a pullback.
All right, Dennis. Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Well, actually, you won't. I'm taking
over. I forgot.
So, haters out there, you'll enjoy a week of Dennis Dick silence here, because I'm off for the next week. So going camping.
This is actually going to be the last time for 2 weeks that all three of us are together, because Dennis is out until he'll be back on Thursday. But then Joel is out Thursday and Friday. So the three of us will not be back in the saddle until for the rest of the month. This is the last show of the month with all three of us here. So I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it. Dennis, have a good trip. We will talk to you in a week. And
you know the market will be crazy. It's always the craziest when I leave because I'm not trading, and I'll bring my iPad with me, and there is Wi-Fi there, but I'll probably do very little trading. So
this is true. Dennis did leave the week Dennis went to Disney World last year.
That's when COVID started.
That's when COVID started in the U.S.
So it's bad luck when I go away because I love volatility, and we know the markets always get more volatile when I leave. Right. So
just don't fly Delta. Don't fly Delta, Dennis.
No. Well, we won't be flying at all. I don't go on airplanes right yet, so I'm still spooked. I'll be driving across country.
Have a great trip. Good luck on your camping, and try not to
Ruin the world.
Try not to run into too many Canada geese while you're there.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of those.
All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. All right. Let me bring on my next guest here, Gunnar Cuevas. He's the co-founder and CEO of Coral Invest, doing some interesting things in that space. And I want to bring Gunnar on now. Gunnar, good morning. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. How are you?
Good. Doing well. All right. So let's just start with this. Explain to me and to our audience what Coral is.
Yeah, Coral is a hedge fund platform. We give people access to hedge fund investment strategies. It's sort of like a marketplace. So you can come and find hedge fund investment strategies provided by existing hedge fund managers, and accredited investors can come here to basically access and get the information they need to invest in hedge fund strategies.
So when you say hedge fund strategies, what does it really mean?
Yeah, right now we concentrate in quant hedge fund strategies. So most of these are going to have very low human intervention, and they are going to use very heavy computer science and basically mathematics. That's why it's quantitative investment strategies. And this will follow investment models that have been automated and that are systematic. So you can think about this as algo trading in some respect. So they're automating their investment strategies so they can consume data and act on this data in basically in an automated manner, right? So whenever data is available, these algorithms will get access to the data, do the data analytics, and spit out a buy or sell for the stock or future or option that they're looking at.
So you have a background in this type of trading, this area of the market, right?
Yes, I do. I used to build market making algorithms. That's how I started my career in the space.
Okay, can you explain a little bit about like how that area of the market works? I think a lot of people, and myself included, don't have a great understanding of that area of the market. It's sort of like a black box where you know it's out there, but you don't really quite have a grasp on how these types of strategies actually impact flows on any given day and impact the markets in any given day. So can you sort of like just outline at a high level for us how these types of strategies that you previously designed and now have a platform to access impact the market on any given day, and what are the most common examples of some of these strategies?
I think that the easiest way to understand is to think about hedge funds are big investment companies, and they are some of the most active and most knowledgeable players in the market. So when a big hedge fund that, you know, you probably know of many is, you know, it's acting or, you know, it's having orders in the market, these orders will most likely move a certain stock or a certain index. So they have a lot of action, in the market. They have a lot of, impact on how the market moves because a lot of these firms are very big, right? So when they go and buy, they will move the market.
So can you give like an example of like a strategy that you've designed once upon a time or that you had used?
Right. So at my last job, we were building strategies with alternative data. One of the very interesting things that we were working on over there, we were using the data from the cell phone towers. So we were building an algorithm to find out how much data was flowing between the cell phone towers at particular locations. Why we wanted to know this is because we wanted to understand, like when you're at Walmart, and where you, if you're on your phone, you know, you're emailing, you're browsing, doing things like that, this creates a data exchange. So we wanted to understand if more, you know, more data means that you're actually engaged in your buying at Target, or you're actually less engaged. So that would give us an indication of whether, you know, as a whole, people at that moment in a Walmart or a Target are, you know, more engaged in their purchasing, or they're just maybe, you know, window shopping.
That seems a little abstract, though, right? Because it could be, you don't know what they're doing. They could be looking up, like, stuff to purchase, right? So,
correct. Correct. So there is an effort to understand the data and to analyze the data to basically use it as an input to a trading model.
And the end game would be to use those signals to, you know, buy to telecom. I mean, buy Verizon, buy AT&T, that type of thing, or Walmart and Target.
Walmart and Target. Yeah. So that would be a piece of data, right? So you can add to these point of sale data if you can get it. Let's say, for example, right, credit card data, if you can get that as well. And you start building a picture of, you know, the movements of capital among like some of these firms. Once you have an idea of the movements of capital coming in, coming out, you can start getting an idea of what their earnings are going to be.
You created this or co-created this platform, Carl. You know, you basically created this marketplace for who exactly gets to list their strategies on Carl? Like, how do I get my, if I have my own, you know, quant driven strategy, how do I get my strategy to be on Carl? You know, I'm trying to understand as the end investor, who am I getting access to really?
You're getting access to firms that are existing, that exist in the market currently. We have a due diligence process to bring these firms on. So this due diligence process is the same process that an institutional investor will put any of these firms. They have to go through first a technology due diligence process. So we try to understand the partners, infrastructure, systems, and how everything has been built and put together. Number two is the performance. We want to know, you know, have they done previously? We audit the reports, brokerage statements, and so on. The third part of the due diligence is actually done with Aon. Aon is our partner in the due diligence. Aon, the insurance company, maybe you don't know, but it has a huge, huge presence in the alternative investment space. So they take care of all everything that has to do with the operational due diligence, you know, how these firms operate, in a day-to-day basis. Once we have done all this due diligence on the firms and we like what they do, we basically get into an agreement for them to come into Carl and offer their strategies to our investors.
Any plans to open up your platform to all investors?
Yes, you know, that's the plan. We hope that with the changes and the new changes that hopefully are coming soon with the SEC, we'll be able to open this to a lot more investors. Right now, because of the type of investment, we can only offer this to accredited investors in the U.S.
Is there a timeline on that changing? Because I know the rules on who is and is not an accredited investor recently got changed. It's not as difficult as it used to be to be considered an accredited investor in the eyes of the SEC. But any timeline on when that could happen, on when this could really be opened up to everybody?
That's from my end, it's very difficult to give you a date. You know, we work within the existing regulations, and I hope they have been changing. I think there's been changes, small changes happening, as you said, it has become easier since 2015. There's been changes, every year, and we hope that there'll continue to be changes to basically open up the space.
I'm trying to understand, though, like, why would I want my strategy opened up to the masses in the first place? I can understand from an investor standpoint the appeal that I could get access, but from a quant trader standpoint, what is the incentive for me? Why would I want to open up my strategy that I built to more people?
Right. So there is a few different reasons you might want to do this as a manager, right? Number one, it's very complex to manage individuals at scale, investors, given the current regulations. So with our platform, it's basically a plug and play. We make it very easy for the manager to take on a smaller investors. There's no fund that I know that is going to take a smaller investors. That's just not going to happen. It's more a liability for them than anything else. With our solution, that is because of technology, one of the great things about technology is that gives you the ability to serve, you know, many people, you know, hundreds of thousands of people probably at scale, while still providing a tailored custom service. So that's what our technology and our platform does. And that's something that managers by themselves, they don't have this. The second thing is managers that, you know, especially after COVID, they're trying to create a pandemic proof business model. It's a very sales-driven, paper-driven type of business. So once, you know, everybody had to stay at home, a lot of these funds couldn't travel, couldn't go and meet people, couldn't go to conferences and things like that. So they need a digital distribution, help. And the other one would be that there are many funds that are, you know, in the, you know, outside the U.S. that are trying to get access to the U.S. market that are very good. And, you know, this gives them a good opportunity to enter the market. The last reason would be to diversify their asset base, right? So when you have you're running a $2, $3 billion fund, suddenly one of your big institutional investors leaves, that, you know, it will be a lot of money. Institutional investors invest, you know, big amounts of money. So you will lose a big chunk of your fund. And that sometimes creates a domino effect because of the rules that other institutional investors might have. For example, a very common is that no institutional investor wants to own more than 10% of the asset base of a fund. So suddenly you become 12% of the asset base. So then you have to take your money out, right? So this creates a domino effect. So it gives them diversification on the asset base as well.
I'm wondering if the events of the last 7 months have changed anything for you, for your company, or how you look at bringing access to these types of, you know, high-end institutional strategies, because there has been this movement that's been building for several years now, frankly, but kind of came to a head earlier this year with the GameStop and AMC thing, where this populist movement moving, you know, this huge wealth transfer away from some hedge funds and to the individual retail investor, which I think most would probably argue, you know, is a long time coming. Has that movement, the rise of the retail trader, that's essentially what your platform does is give access to them. But has that changed how you look at things?
No, I think that our goal was always kind of, you know, we were looking at this change that you're the internet. Generational wealth transfer, right? That has already started. And we're looking at that as a big opportunity. You know, there's a firm called Preqin that collects and provides a lot of, data and white papers around the industry. They estimate that just in the hedge fund industry, right, by 2025, 10% of all assets will come from retail investors. So that will be about, that's what they predict. So that will be about $400 billion just over the next 5 years coming from retail investors. I think the rise of the retail investor, not only in, you know, stock trading, right, but in all aspects of investing, right? So there is a lot more opportunities for these investors to, whether, you know, you want to choose your own stocks, and there's, you know, a lot of places where you can go and buy your own options, you buy your own stocks. What we offer is, you know, access to hedge funds that, you know, you're getting access to a diversified asset class. You're getting access to expert advice right through the investment strategy, because, you know, you have an active hedge fund manager that is directing the strategy behind it. So, you know, there is an opportunity for all these, let's say, smaller investors to get access to a better, more diversified portfolio. And that's our goal, right? If you have the information, if you have the tools, you will be able to make better investment decisions and have a better financial outcome overall.
So your core thesis is that it's only a matter of time before the line gets blurred. Right now, the line between retail and institutional is not very blurry, right? There's a clear delineation between the two. The one side has access to way more capital, way more information, typically, traditionally, than the other side does, and better access to the markets, frankly. Your core thesis is that that line is going to continue to get blurred, and the two sides are going to be able to come together more in terms of the types of strategies that they can have access to and use.
Yes, I think that's going to take a long time. I think that the participation, you know, the $400 billion in 5 years that I mentioned for the hedge fund industry in particular, it's only going to amount to about 10% of all assets. So institutional investors will still be, you know, the main investors in the market, especially in alternative assets. But I think that they'll continue to be a growth of the self-directed, retail investors that is making their own decisions on how to invest their money.
So, and last one for you, Gunnar, here. How do you sell this to investors, smaller investors who hate everything that hedge funds stand for? And here you are saying, look, you too can have access to their strategies. Well, how do you sell it to the people that really just think the hedge funds are just evil and wouldn't want it?
Well, I think that the way we look at this is that part of our job is to provide as much information as we can about each one of the hedge funds that we offer. So we're trying to be, a source of, transparent information. One of the things that you will see from us is that we basically built all this technology in a way that you can get real-time performance information for each one of our strategies. That's something that I haven't seen before in the space. You know, you in the space generally you get a statement at the end of the month. So what we try to do is build tools and build technology and provide all the information we can. So you go to our app, for example, you will see videos, descriptions, audio files, interactive data that, right now, because of the paper-driven space, you don't find anywhere else. So we're trying to basically say, look, you have an opinion. Why don't you objectively look at what we have and then make your own decision, right? Don't go by what the media is saying. Don't go by what, some people might be telling you. We're trying to be objective, give you the information. If you're a busy individual, right, accredited investors, a lot of them are very busy individuals. They don't have probably the time to be picking their own stocks, and this might be something that is more their speed, let's say.
It's a good point also. Typically, you invest in a hedge fund, and your money gets locked up, not the most transparent instruments. So you're also just, I would imagine, the strategies on your platform, by nature of them being on your platform, would come with maybe better terms than a traditional hedge fund would offer.
Right. So we provide monthly liquidity. So if the minimum time you have to be invested with us is for a month. And that's because of how the instrument works. Yes.
Okay. Gunnar Cuevas is the co-founder and the CEO of Carl. The link was up on the screen there right now, investwithcarl.com. Gunnar, look forward to keeping tabs on what you guys do, and we'd love to have you back on one day soon.
All right. Thank you, man. All right. I appreciate this.
Thanks a lot.
Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye. Hey, look, it's not every day, guys, we get somebody on the show who's got a background in algorithmic trading. Maybe we can have Gunnar back and we can talk more about that. I'm sure Dennis would be interested, I think. Okay, it is 9:20. Again, I know there was more tickers in chat. We didn't get to them. I apologize. You can tune into our other shows throughout the day. If you want to ask Neil on Get Technical, you want to ask Joel on the At the Close show, feel free to do that. I'm going to hop off here in a couple of minutes. We have David Green live trading the open next at 9:25, followed by SPAX Attack, followed by the Power Hour, Get Technical, Moon or Bust. At the Close show, 3:30. How to Use Benzinga Pro with Mike Rao at 4 o'clock. We got Penny Lane at 5. New show today. Options Mike. If you follow Options Mike on Twitter, he's doing a show with us at 6 o'clock today, and then Aftermarket Therapy at 7 p.m. Eastern time. I haven't looked at likes yet today, so I hope they're high. I would appreciate if they're high. That would, you know, give me some self-worth. If we had a number of likes, let's see. What are we at? 313. Let's see if we can get to like 400. I'm not like up your guys's or down your guys' necks about likes as much. But yes, it would be nice if you could drop me a like. I'd appreciate that. Helps me look good to my boss, quite frankly. What else did I want to say? Oh, reminder. The next Benzinga boot camp is this coming Saturday. Okay. I'm going to put the link up on the screen to learn more. It's BenzingaBootCamp.com. There it is. Check it out. Full day event of webinars and education about trading, stocks, options. Saturday, this coming Saturday, BenzingaBootCamp.com. Check it out. There will be some familiar faces that you know. That will be there. Tim Quast, I believe, will be there. David Green, I believe, will be there. Nick Shaheen, I think, will be there. So BenzingaBootCamp.com this Saturday. Check that out. Let me see. What did we miss here? I know there was more that I missed. Oh, we need to talk about AMC. Do you guys see AMC? What a morning. What a day. First off, what a day. And when we were prepping for the show this morning, Dennis couldn't understand why the indexes were down. And I said, well, AMC is the only thing that's kind of down this morning. Because every stock was up, but that's not the case now. But AMC is giving back some of the gains. But what a great day yesterday for AMC, right? Like you've been waiting for that. If you're an AMC, you've been waiting for yesterday. So that's nice to see. All right, smash the like. I'd appreciate that. Subscribe to Benzinga on YouTube if you have not already. I'd appreciate that as well. Benzinga Pro is our real-time news platform. Pro.benzinga.com. Free two-week trial. You want a discount? The code's on the bottom of the screen. YouTube20, YouTube20, will get 20% off any Benzinga Pro subscription. Again, pro.benzinga.com. Thanks to our guests today, Gunnar Cuevas and Nate Tobik. Thanks to all of you in our chats. There is the YouTube chat. There is people watching on Twitter. There's people watching on Twitch. People watching on Benzinga.com. People watching on Benzinga Pro. It's a lot of chats to keep track of during the show. I do my best. I apologize if I did not see your question or comment or ticker. I try. All right. David Green coming up live in a minute. I'm going to hop off. This stream will redirect to that. So you don't really got to do anything. And everyone, good luck at the Open today. Let's make some money. I'll see you guys in a little bit.
Tired of getting left behind on winning trades? Join Benzinga's free masterclass on July 24th to learn how to spot breakout trades before they skyrocket. Featuring live interactive lessons on how to trade meme stocks, read charts, identify trends, and so much more. To register for free, go to events.benzinga.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.